Okay, guys, so, well, I think that we can start now. So basically, hello, my name is Tomek, and I'm from Samsung Poland R&D Center. And basically, for the past 8 months, I've been working in the Developers Cooperation Group. And our main purpose and our main, activity is to encourage the external developers to create applications for the Tizen platform. And today I would like to share with you the topic of highly portable HTML5 games on Tizen. So let me just start off with our short development story. So, we thought that what is the best way to encourage third-party developers to create applications for Tizen. So we decided that, okay, we can maybe write a cool HTML5 game and then, create a series of technical articles about it and put it on developer Tizen.org. This was one approach. And then we thought that we have this cool HTML5 game that already can be played on Tizen. So we thought that maybe if we add something, not very much, to this game, we can also be able to launch it and play it on a desktop browser. And actually, we did that. But after that, we thought that, okay, there is this cool operating system, which is probably, the most, I don't know if it's the most popular, but it's probably at the same level of popularity as iOS. So this is Android. And we thought that, okay, maybe if we add something more, we can launch this application on Android platform. And actually, this is what we did. And we managed to launch on all those platforms with the same good performance. So the name of the game is The Earth Guard, and it is based on a very old idea of alien invaders, which comes from the late 1970s. So basically, it's about flying around with the ship. You've got the aliens at the top of the screen. You've got the Earth to protect at the bottom. So it's pretty simple. And right now, just to show you that it works, I've got here the Tizen reference device with the Tizen 2.0 Magnolia installed, and I can just show you the game and how it works, hopefully. Yeah, so this is the Tizen. Let me just unlock the screen. Yeah, and here's the game. Yeah, it starts. You can tap to enter, choose new game. The level. So the concept is, very easy. We are using the gyroscope to control the ship. We are using the touch events to shoot to the bad guys. And I have here on my PC. This is Internet Explorer. This is the same game running here. So if I tap to enter, and I can start the new game, and this is pretty much the same. I can just move and shoot the bad guys coming, and it works with the same performance. I have also here the Chrome installed. I can start the game here as well. Choose the level. And yeah, it also works. So I have here also the Galaxy S3 device with Android version 4 installed. So I can show you that the same game can be launched on an Android device with the equally good performance. So let me just switch here. This is it. I'm starting the game. Tap to enter. Just some new level. And this is the same game with the same bad guys. So, and the look and feel and the performance is equally good. So basically, what I would like you to get to know is how to create your application on Tizen and then add a few things and be able to launch it on a desktop browser and on Android. So let me start with the short agenda. I already shared with you the EarthGuard story. And then I would like to tell a few things about the initial requirements for the highly portable Tizen applications. Then I would go to the, through the web game concept in general. I will tell you a little bit about the main rendering surface that we used here. And the main rendering surface is Canvas to the API. I will show you that we used only like 4 calls from this API. So it's much, much easier than what we just heard about the WebGL. You don't need like 3,000 lines of code just to clear the screen. It's not needed. And then I would like to share with you a few information about the responsive design, because obviously there are many different devices and the devices are with a different screen resolution. So we would like to handle that as well. And obviously also the user input handling for a desktop browser and for a mobile is much different, because on a desktop you need to use like a keyboard and a mouse, and on a mobile we implemented the gyroscope handling and touch events. And then I will just focus on launching the application on Android platform. I will wrap it up and give you some further reading. So what is what are the initial requirements for highly portable Tizen applications? So first thing you need to do is forget about the native. So don't code in C++. So you should use the open web standards such as HTML5, JavaScript, and CSS. So this is the first thing. Then you need to think about the responsive design, because you would like to launch your application on device with multiple screen resolutions. And then the handling of the user input is much different on a desktop and on a mobile device. So you need to handle it in a smart way, but you need to do both. And actually, those three initial points are enough for you to start with a fully portable HTML5 application between the mobile and between Tizen and desktop browser. But then, if you need to launch your application on Android device, you would need to either use some open source solution like PhoneGap Cordova, but we already heard about it on some sessions, or use maybe your own Java wrapper. And I will show you that creating your Java wrapper is very, very easy for HTML5 application. And you can just, and you can gain performance, because PhoneGap Cordova adds a lot to the Java wrapper that contains your HTML5 application. And when you use your own one, the performance of the game can be much, much better. So what is the main web game concept? So when you start the game development, you need to think about the rendering surface. And there are actually two modes in which you can create your web game. So the first mode is called the retained mode. And in the retained mode, the browser itself knows everything about the hierarchy of the objects being drawn on the screen. So, for example, it's very useful for strategic games when you need a lot of interaction with each and single element being drawn on the screen. So when you need to, for example, use touch events to handle all the elements being drawn on the screen, it's good to use the retained mode. And of course, the retained mode favors the DOM rendering and SVG rendering. But we all know that DOM rendering and SVG rendering, they were not meant for game development. And especially the performance is very poor when you use DOM or SVG on a mobile device. So we decided that, okay, we will leave that and move to the immediate mode. And the immediate mode, of course, it favors the Canvas 2D rendering and WebGL. So basically the concept is that the game itself knows the hierarchy of the elements being drawn on the screen, because the browser doesn't know when to, for example, redraw each element. We need to do it yourself in the game loop. So in each iteration of the game loop, we need to perform certain activities. So for our game, we choose the Canvas 2D API, and unfortunately we did that because if we use WebGL, for example, we would not be able to port our application for the Android platform. The Android default web view does not support yet the WebGL. And we have the two-dimensional surface, so that's why Canvas to the API and immediate mode. And when you design a web game, you need to have the three principal objects, especially when you are using Canvas 2D. So let me start with the last one. So there is a sprite sheet, and this sprite sheet is to take a rectangular area from your image and put it exactly on the rectangular area on the canvas. So basically, this is the behavior. You need to also have a game board. And the game board is a primitive that represents one screen of the application. So in case of our application, you saw that we have a home screen and we have a game screen. So these are like the two game boards. And game board also aggregates elements being drawn on the screen. So when you've got many enemies, when you got, as we do, we have enemies flying from the top of the screen, we've got the player ship, and we've got the earth drawn at the bottom, so this is one game board. And of course you need a game module which, well, binds it all together and is responsible for points calculation, for game board management, and also, for example, for displaying a menu and such things. And now let me move to another topic, which is actually the game loop, because as I already told you, if you use the immediate mode, you need to constantly redraw the screen, but we need to do it in the smart way. So the initial thing that we did was to set the FPS factor for our game, and we set it to 40. And actually, FPS represents the refresh frequency of the screen. So 40 FPS represents the 40 hertz refresh frequency. And in each iteration of the game loop, we need to do the certain things. So first thing, we need to clear the canvas. Then we need to calculate the new positions of the objects, and we need to redraw those objects, taking into account the new positions. But then we need to release the main program event loop for a given period of time. So this period of time is T2 mentioned here. And in case of our application, the T2 time is 25 milliseconds. So this is basically the ideal case when T time is equal to zero. But unfortunately, the world is not ideal, and especially the mobile world is not ideal. So the T1 time usually is not equal to zero, because if the performance of the device drops suddenly, and it drops when you draw many objects on canvas, you need to take this into account. So we created something which is called the adaptive game loop, and the only change here is that the T1 time is not equal to zero now. It's equal to some other value depending on the device performance. And when we calculate the T2 time, we subtract this T1 time from our previously calculated 25 milliseconds, and this makes our game loop more adaptive. Okay, you may ask, what happens if the T1 time is higher or equal to 25 milliseconds? Well, it means basically that the performance of the device is not enough to handle your game, so you need to find another device, or you need to, figure out some, better algorithm for drawing objects that it would, take less time. So we adapted that. And, we saw the WebGL at the previous session, so here I would like just to show you the four API calls from the Canvas API that we used in our entire game. So it is very, very, very easy. So the first thing that you need to do is, of course, to create a canvas element in your DOM, and then you need to take the reference to this. And after taking the reference, you need to invoke the getContext method, and in our case, this is the two-dimensional context. And the methods which we, mainly use in our application is, for example, the draw image. It is heavily used in the sprite sheet module. So, and the only thing that this method does is to take the rectangular area from an image and put it on exactly where given rectangular area on the canvas. So, and this is all that it does. we obviously need to, well, fill the rectangular area with some solid color. And in order to do that, we are just using the fill rect method, which accepts four parameters. And these parameters, well, defines the rectangular area. But previously, we need to also define the color, which we would like to fill this rectangular area with. So this is very, very simple. And of course, we need a way to display a text on the canvas, for example, to display level, to display some information for the user. And doing it is also very, very easy. You can use the fill text method, and it accepts four parameters. The first is the string to be rendered, and the next three parameters are just the it defines the rectangular area where we would like to put the text in. And we will use only one more canvas to the API call, and this is all. And this is all that we used in the game. So as you can see, this is very, very easy. It's much simpler than WebGL. Okay, and now the topic of the responsive design. Because as I already said, you need a way to be able to use your application on devices with multiple screen resolutions. So here's what we did. So the initial maximum resolution for our Tizen device was the HD resolution. So this was our initial resolution that we tested our application for. And then the approach. For example, if you have the Galaxy S2 device, the resolution of the device is smaller. So we took the viewport of the Galaxy S2, the height of the viewport of the Galaxy S2, and this will be the height of the canvas that we after scaling. But then we need to also calculate the scaling factor for the width. And this is very easy because the scaling factor can be calculated like this, that we have the new device height. We can divide it by the maximum height of the device. And in this case, it's 1,280. And we will have the scaling factor. And then we just need to multiply this scaling factor by the actual device width, and we will gain the new width of the canvas that we need to apply. And using this approach, this is just for calculating the scale, of course, and we need to put this scale into the Canvas API scale method, and it accepts two parameters. The first is the scaling parameter of the height of the canvas, and the second parameter is the scale for the height of the canvas. So if we put there this previously calculated scale, we will have the canvas displayed correctly on device with any resolution. Of course, if the resolution of the device is higher than HD, we will see some graphical artifacts which are not desired, but this is because our initial maximum resolution was the Tizen initial maximum resolution, which is HD. But this is just part of the job, because not all our UI is rendered on canvas. There are parts of our UI, for example, like the menu here, high scores and so on. This is not drawn in the canvas. This is DOM. So basically, we need to scale also these parts. And to do that, there are two steps. First is the font scaling. So at our reference device, we set the reference resolution for the body DOM element as the 25 pixels, because we saw that it looks okay. And then this 25 pixels resolution, it represents the 100% font size through the whole document. So if we created some other DOM elements, we applied not the font size with the pixels value, but with the percentage values. So that's why we have each font size through our DOM document binded with this reference font size 25 pixels. So this is easy. But then we need to scale this reference font to fit the actual screen resolution. So the only thing that we did was taking this scale, which we previously calculated for Canvas, and use some JavaScript to create the scaled font size, just 25 pixels, because this is our reference, multiplied by the scale. And then, using some JavaScript, we assigned it to the font size of a document body element. And because all fonts are binded to this reference font, which is actually assigned to the body element, then if we just scale it, all fonts in our application will upscale, downscale, and they will fit basically the new resolution screen. Okay, but this is half of the job for the menu. Another half is to define in the smart way the dimensions of the UI elements, such as divs, spans, p elements, and so on. So the only thing which we need to do is here to use not the exact pixels values to define this, the width and the height of the elements, but we use the EM values. And one EM value actually represents the font size which is inside this element. So we've got the sizes of the elements that are bind with the font size inside this element. And having this, because the font was already scaled, the canvas was already scaled, so here we are using the EM values, and because the font size inside the element changes, the dimension of the elements also changes. So everything, well, scales up, scales down. We have responsive design, which leads us to very adaptive UI in our application. Another hard thing to do for us was to handle the input. Because as I already said, it is much different on a mobile device and on the desktop browser. So basically for the desktop browser, we bind it key down, key up, and click events. You already seen it because I show you how it works on my PC. And for a mobile, we bind the device orientation event, touch end, and touch start. And here is your steps in a development process, actually our steps in the development process that we need to take to handle the user input on a mobile. So the first thing which we had to do was create the angles normalization table, because unfortunately the angle range which are returned by the device orientation change event for Tizen and for Android are not the same. And they are not even the same to the W3C spec. So we had to create a normalization table to have angles always in the same ranges. And then another problem that we faced was the gyroscope values uncertainty, because sometimes the gyroscope values returned by the device orientation even were like crazy, and our ship was flying around like a mad. So we need to create some polishing algorithm for that, and it was very easy. We just took like 20 last values returned by the device orientation, for example, for a beta angle. We calculated the mean value, and if the next value returned by the device orientation change event is, much different from this, we are not taking it into account. Then we need to attach the device orientation event listener in order to in the real time to be able to read the values of the angles, like the beta angle, gamma angle, delta angle. So this is it. And the next thing which we had to do was to read the initial position of the device, because someone may start our game like this, or maybe like this. Yeah? So we need to read the initial state of the device. So in other words, we need to read the initial angles and then do all other calculations. And the last thing which we had to do was, of course, to bind the angles being read from the device orientation change event with the movement of our player ship with some mathematical function, but it was easy at the end. So these are the actions that you need to take for a highly portable HTML5 game, and now we are moving to Android. So as you may know, the Android application consists of activities, and basically one screen of Android application is one activity. So when we created our Java wrapper, which is very, very easy, we just used one activity for that. Inside this activity, we created an instance of a WebView object, and basically this WebView object represents the WebKit browser instance. And in this WebView, we are actually launching our HTML5 application. We created also a class which is called Web App Interface here, and an instance of this class this is the communication interface for our HTML5 application. So basically, each method from this web app interface can be invoked in our HTML5 application. I will show you how to do that in a moment. And because we are using WebView, and WebView also provides some, cool interface that allows us to invoke any method from HTML5 application global namespace. So thanks to that, we've got a bidirectional communication between our Java wrapper and HTML5 application, so we can invoke in both ways whatever we want. So this is basically the first point. Then what we need to do is handle the console log. And we are doing it because we want to debug our application in Android environment. And console log messages are not forwarded to Eclipse IDE logcat by default. So we need to do that ourselves. The next thing which we did was actually to handle the Android back button, because when we click, when we tap the Android back button, it actually, toggles our menu. And of course, handling the Android application lifecycle is also very important. So basically what we need to do is when someone puts our application into background, our HTML5 application doesn't know anything about it. We need to somehow, from the Java wrapper, we need to tell HTML5 application, okay, you should stop sending enemies, you should probably display a menu and pause. So this is what we need to handle also. And the power management of the Android application is also very important, because, for example, if someone is not interacting with the screen will dim. So we don't want that to happen. So we also need to handle this. Okay. And so this is how we can expose an interface from our Java wrapper to HTML5 application. Basically, what I said was that any Java object can be exposed to HTML5 application. And in our case, we created the class which is called Web App Interface, and this is just a part of this class. So there is just one method here, which is called Exit Application, and the only thing that this method does is to finish the main activity of our Java wrapper. And because in our Java wrapper there is only one activity, then it means that it will actually close our application. So this is in the Java wrapper, and we have the WebView instance here, and it has the cool method which is called addJavaScriptInterface, which accepts two parameters. The first parameter is the reference to this web app interface class. And the second parameter is just a string under which this interface will be available in our HTML5 application. So doing this it means that we will create in our HTML5 application a namespace, Android namespace, and we will have the exit application available there. So in HTML5 application, we actually now can invoke something like this, which will close, which will finish our only activity in the Java wrapper, and because it's only activity, it will shut down our application. Simple as that. Handling the console log is also very easy, because the WebView, it has a method which allows us to define some callback functions, and there is this on console message, and we just handle it that everything that comes as an invocation parameter is forwarded to the logd method, which by default outputs everything on the default Eclipse IDE logcat message, so debugging is easy. And the part of the code here is for handling Android back button. So this piece of the code is actually taken from the main activity, which is the only activity in our application. And what we did here was just to overwrite one method from it, which is called onKeyDown, and we check if the key being pressed if the code of the key is key code back, which actually represents the back button, and if so, using the load URL method from the web view, we invoke a menu toggle which is defined inside our JavaScript application. Inside our JavaScript application, there is a module which is called menu, and it has a method toggle. So everything that it does is actually to invoke some code from the JavaScript application, but then we also need to invoke the same method from the superclass in order to keep the compatibility, and that's all. So basically, as I show you, creating your own Java wrapper, it's easy. You don't need to use the sophisticated approaches such as PhoneGap or something. You can. And actually, this is also a good solution, but creating your own Java wrapper, for sure will give you a better performance because you are only handling what you need in your Java wrapper. And this is all about, launching the application on Android platform. So here are just a few, credits to the Polish SPRC team, which was involved in EarthGuard application and further reading. If there is anything that was unclear for you, you can get a series of technical articles from the developer Tyson.org, which covers everything here, which was said here, plus many more. And you will find code snippets there, code examples. You will find, in this article, you will find the working version of EarthGuard that you can launch on the Tyson reference device. And if by any chance, and you probably have the Android device with you, so you can go to the Samsung apps and download the EarthGuard version for your Android device, and it will work in the same way as on a Tizen device. And this is all from me. And if you have any questions, I think that now it's a good time. We are just a few minutes.
Thank you for the presentation. It was very helpful. Is this PowerPoint available?
It will be available on this website for the conference. So I think that you can download it. I don't know when it will be available. You should check the website. It will be for sure available.
Definitely. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you for your very engaging presentation style. I'm just wondering. Regarding supporting older versions of Android, did you have any issues with that? Like, for example, on console message, personally I found that supporting 2.2 devices, you don't always get that. Did you have any quirks in that?
Of course, we had some issues with the older versions of Android, that's why we decided actually to drop the support, I think, that from the version 2.5, we dropped the support there.
Hi.
Yeah.
Are they are any audio tweaks for sound?
For sound?
Yes, I have many problems in playing sound. For example, I create games, but there are problems to play sound fast. And I can see my canvas game to go slow when I play it.
So basically, are you using the audio element or some other approach?
Audio element.
Okay, so you are using audio element. And what environment exactly you have for your application? Is this Tizen, Android, or what?
Tizen.
It's Tizen?
Tizen, yes.
There are lags in the performance when you try simultaneously to use HTML5 APIs on Tizen. And, I can only apologize for that. I can say that it will probably get better in the next releases, but currently unfortunately, I would say that there is not much you can do about it, because it's basically not your fault. You can use in parallel, you should be able to use the canvas and the audio, yeah, and it should work just straight away. But in our case, we had some problems also, and that's why we don't use here any sound background. But on the new Tizen, we actually created an application which in the real time is able to display the spectrum of the sound being played, and the spectrum is displayed on canvas, and we can hear the sound playing there is not much delay, like 10 milliseconds, but it's not noticeable. So basically, for the earlier versions of Tizen, there could be some problems, but I think that in the future it will get better. And for the current version, I don't know if you have the 2.0 or 2.1.
2.0.
2.0. So,
yes.
And I had some emulator or
Real device.
Real device.
Real device. Yes.
But
I
you
could
have,
see my canvas game to be slower. To
you have this device, or you have this old brick. This device you have. Okay, so I can only tell that maybe you should upgrade the firmware, because maybe. I can give you a URL for this article, which was created by our colleague, and he's able to play the sound in the real time, and at the same time draw the spectrum of this sound on canvas. So the frequencies, the bars, yeah?
Yes.
And it works. So maybe this will give you some help with your implementation. Yeah, so come after the presentation, and well, we can exchange some contact data, so I can give you the URL for this article. Thanks. Okay, any more questions? Yeah.
Hey, you showed us how to deal with different resolutions and how to adapt to different resolutions. Do you have any recommendations how to deal with different DPIs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, here we've got. Here we are dealing with multiple screen resolutions, and I think that we are not doing anything particular for different DPIs. So basically, you are asking if the application will scale correctly, or
Because sometimes the content could be so tiny that it's hardly readable. So you can have big screen with low resolution, mm-hmm. and it's very ugly if you display something. Sometimes mm-hmm. you have For example, a cell phone with HD or something like this, mm-hmm. and you can see what's going on there. So probably it's a good practice, adapt how to somehow to this problem.
Okay, so basically, we had the privilege that all the graphics here was created by our own designer, and we were targeting into HD resolution with a specific screen DPI. So we did not have such problems, but they will probably appear when you try to create a website, for mobile website, yeah, it will probably appear. But unfortunately, I don't have the solution just right now. We had only the privilege that we have our own graphic guy, and he designed the graphics for our application, and we were able to see how it works on those tiny screens with a low resolution, and also on the big screens, and it looked okay. So we did nothing with the DPI, so I cannot give you any details on that.
So there is a meta viewport tag in the head of the document, and you can scale according to the given DPI of the device.
We have this fixed, like we are not scaling based on the DPI, so oops.
Yeah, but that's how it looks like, mm-hmm. on the new iPhones with bigger screens or things like that. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Any more questions, something? Okay, thanks.